Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I've been wondering why the Democrats have lost so much ground with the average voter, with the blue-collar voter. That was really the strength of the Democratic Party throughout my entire life. And so as I've been, you know, wondering why, you know, people who were blue-collar workers and who relied on Democratic leadership in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s, when Democrats clearly were strong blue-collar people, and Robert Reich, in an article in The Guardian, explained it better than I've heard it explained, and simpler than I've heard it explained anywhere. And if you get a chance, read this article. It's the Republican Party. It's terrible. We all know that. So why may Democrats lose to them this year? It's Robert Reich. And let me read a little bit of it, and then we'll have some dialogue. Some commentators think Democrats have moved too far to the left, too far from the so-called center. And he said, this is utter rubbish. You know, much of today's Republican Party is treacherous and treasonous. So why are Democrats facing midterm elections that, according to most political observers, they're likely to lose? Because it's true. We know how low down and dirty the Republican Party is. No question whatsoever. Everybody knows it. Even their own supporters know how low down and treacherous these Republicans are, and treasonous. But yet, they're still in a position to take over leadership in some areas. And the only reason they're in a position to take over leadership is because Democrats, those who used to be Democrats in these Rust Belt areas, have now swung over to the Republican Party. And I often wondered why. Robert Reich stated he had been a Democrat for over 70 years, and that he believes that the Democrats have lost their way. And then he went on to say that these are the reasons. Listen to these, because they certainly make sense. The working class used to be the bedrock of the Democratic Party. And he followed what happened. And this really is at the root of it. You guys remember Bill Clinton? And, you know, many of us cheered the election of Bill Clinton when he came into office. And if you look at what Bill Clinton accomplished and the things that he did, were really detrimental to the middle class workers of this nation, to the blue collar workers of this nation. Bill Clinton, with NAFTA, hollowed out the middle class. He and let's be clear, there were Republicans who voted along the lines with Bill Clinton. It's one of those things that both Democrats and Republicans both agree with when it came to NAFTA. I know it impacted and affected what I was doing at that time in my life. I was in industry, and industry was still strong in this nation. And, you know, we were the machine shop of the world in the city of Milwaukee and the entire Midwest, and people were able to live these robust lives, and there were opportunities. And Bill Clinton came in with NAFTA. It goes back to Tom and money in politics. And so Bill Clinton was bought and paid for. And big business owned him. And he responded to big business. He didn't respond to the average person. Let's get back to what Robert Reich is saying about what took place. And he explained it so well and so simplistic that you understand exactly why we're at the point we are at now. Had Bill Clinton not led the charge for NAFTA and helped destroy the middle class in this country with his North American Free Trade Agreement, maybe, you know, blue collar workers and mom and pop people who struggle in this country would have still been with Democrats. But during the first 2 years of Clinton, Obama and Biden administrations, when Democrats controlled both houses of Congress, they scored some important victories for working families. The Affordable Care Act, an expanded earned income tax credit, and Family and Medical Leave Act, for example. But they also allowed the middle class to hollow out and the working class to sink. Clinton passed free trade agreements without providing millions of blue-collar workers who consequently lost their jobs a means of getting new ones that paid at least as well. Now, I remember when we lost our jobs, and what they offered was, well, you can go back to school and be retrained, is what they were saying at the time. And so many people who were doing all the things that they thought were right wound up losing their jobs. They lost their homes. They lost everything in one fell swoop. And many never recovered. And the anger of that still exists to this day. Clinton passed the free trade agreements without providing, you know, these opportunities for people to recover and get back into the middle class. His North American Free Trade Agreement and plan for China to join the World Trade Organizations undermined the wages and economic security of manufacturing workers across America, hollowing out the vast swaths of the Rust Belt. Live that. And even to this day, many of those Rust Belt states and cities have not regained what they lost. And I understand. It was a coup for the business community. And that goes back to what, you know, you talk about money and politics and all of those things. The businesses that had been in this country for a century moved overseas. I never will forget. You can think of places like Harley-Davidson, the motorcycle manufacturer in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that was a beacon. The amount of money that those the people made at Harley-Davidson going back to the 60s, 70s, 80s was unbelievable. But they were allowed to then move manufacturing overseas with the express idea that it would be cheaper for us to purchase these things in this country. When they moved the automobile industry overseas, the response was, we've cut the amount of cost because of what people were making, what the American citizens were making in the automobile factories. Never mind that the automobile factories weren't hurting, they were waxing rich during those times in this nation, but they got greedier. And so what happened was they moved these plants overseas and said to the American people, it will be cheaper when we bring them back into this country. Never happened. The automobile prices never came down. The profits of the companies went through the roof at the expense of the average everyday American person who worked in those shops and in those factories. Here's another thing that really Bill Clinton did that most people you know, either have forgotten or didn't think about. It was Clinton who deregulated Wall Street. This led to the financial crisis of 2008, in which Obama bailed out the biggest banks and bankers, but did nothing for homeowners, many of whom owed more on their homes than their homes were worth. You guys remember that? The housing crisis, the housing bubble, that people lost their homes and have never recovered, while Wall Street continued to wax rich. This is under Democratic leadership. Whether we want to think about it or not, there are people who, even to this day, haven't forgotten that. In their lives, they lost everything. Democrats were in charge. You want to know why people are still angry with Democrats? It is because of those decisions that were made under then President Bill Clinton and even under President Barack Obama that did not side with the average middle class person. They were definitely in opposition. Well, you know, people can argue and say, well, yeah, but Obama brought in the Affordable Care Act. Yeah, he did. But that could not replace what people lost. Before we even needed an Affordable Care Act, each one of these major corporations provided health insurance for all of us. We didn't have to go out and purchase it. The manufacturing companies made so much money before they were moved overseas that they gave you those benefits. Those things happened under Democrats, and there are people who haven't forgotten it. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I want to come back to this article because it does explain why the anger and angst. And I don't know how Democrats ever recover, even in the face of just how rotten and low down the Republicans are. I don't know how you get people to forgive losing their homes and everything that they own. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. What do you say? We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're just joining me, I'm talking about an article that the great Robert Reich has written. And it's the Republican Party is terrible. So why may Democrats lose to them this year? It's in today's Guardian newspaper. And he's making, you know, the most salient points, I think, that anybody has made, and why Democrats are now voting Republican. I still, and I know that this took place, you know, a couple decades, almost a decade or so ago, and people have and people have just not forgiven Democrats for decisions that they made to benefit corporations and to take advantage of the average blue collar guy, and they've never forgotten it. So Obama didn't demand as a condition for the bailout that banks refrain from foreclosing on underwater homeowners. Nor did Obama demand an overhaul of the banking system. Instead, he allowed Wall Street to water down attempts at re-regulation. Both Clinton and Obama stood by as corporations hammered trade unions. They failed to reform labor laws to allow workers to form unions with a simple up or down majority vote, or even to impose meaningful penalties on companies that violated labor protections. Biden has supported labor law reform but hasn't fought for it, leaving the protecting the rights to organize PRO Act to die inside his ill-fated Build Back Better Act. Clinton and Obama allowed antitrust enforcement to enabling large corporations to grow far larger and major industries to become more concentrated. Biden is trying to revive antitrust enforcement, but hasn't made it a centerpiece of his administration. Both Clinton and Obama depended on big money from corporations and the wealthy. Both turned their backs on campaign finance reform. Thus is the reason, or one of the main reasons, why Democrats have lost their constituency and somehow maybe never to regain it again. Because there's still, it's going to take another generation that can't remember or wasn't born or wasn't around at the time that these things occurred and wound up hollowing out the middle class in this nation. That's at the root of why people have left the Democratic Party, and I don't know how you ever recover that. You know, Bernie Sanders, had Bernie Sanders possibly become the president of the United States or the Democratic nominee, there might have been some hope, some ray of sunshine, based on the things we've heard Bernie Sanders fight for and say, that we could have possibly turned those things around. But he didn't win, and we wound up with Joe Biden. And even though Joe Biden has made some efforts to try to make amends for what his predecessors did, he has not been successful. He has not been, some will argue, demonstrative enough to let people believe that, you know, he is fighting hard enough for them. I just don't think that he has the energy level necessary to challenge those issues. I just don't see it, him being able to make that happen. But that's at the root of why we are dealing with what we are dealing with now. People who know that the other side is just rotten and no good, but cannot bring themselves to vote for people who sat back and watched their lives be destroyed. They didn't do it alone. Republicans played a major role in that too. Never forget that NAFTA and all those other things came into existence because they were both bipartisan. Bipartisanship. There wasn't a big fight when it came to giving up the American people and selling them out. Both Democrats and Republicans did that. But, you know, Bill Clinton was in office. Barack Obama was in office. And what they allowed to occur is not talked about enough. And it's the main reason that you've hollowed out the middle class in this country, and they're blaming the entire Democratic Party for this. And I don't know if they'll ever recover again. As I stated before, maybe in the future, but certainly not at this point in time. Obama was the first presidential nominee since Richard Nixon to reject public financing in his primary and general election campaigns, and he never followed up on his reelection promise to pursue a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. Joe Biden has tried to regain the trust of the working class, but Democratic lawmakers, most obviously and conspicuously Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, have blocked measures that would have lowered the cost of child care, elder care, prescription drugs, health care, and education. They blocked a higher minimum wage and paid family leave. No, Joe Biden didn't do that himself. He's tried to make amends. But whether you like it or not, Democrats, Manchin and Sinema will go down in history as the people who blocked all of this where Joe Biden and the Democrats were trying to make amends for the mistakes of the past. And here we are, 2022, still wondering why Democrats are willing to vote, or former Democrats are willing to vote for some horrible, horrible people with some horrible, horrible ideas that don't benefit the average blue-collar worker. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us. Our phone line's open as always. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. We already know, we've seen them. It's not like they haven't been in power recently. They just were. You know, with Donald Trump and prior to Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and George Bush. I mean, it's not like they haven't been in power recently. We know what they've done. We are suffering because of policies, that they've created themselves. So there is no ray of hope that Republicans wind up in charge of things and somehow things are going to get better for the middle class and for the average person. We know that's not the case, but because people are in a mode of punishing the leadership of Democrats that in many instances deserves to be punished, we're going to have to deal with the problems that we deal with. But anyway, here's another article that to me, again, points out the problems in our nation that people aren't willing to face. You know, we can keep living our lives the way we do in this country, and it's part of what is happening in America, that people have lived so well, some of them, that they don't want to think about the other side of things. And it's one of the reasons why we face the issues and that we face with climate change and other things. You know, here's a subject, and I was kind of going over this, and it caught my eye. And it always bothers me when people say what we can't afford, right, in this country. Because we just can't afford those things anymore. We really can't. There's no way, so we need to allow all these things around us to crumble, and because we just don't have the money. Yeah, we've always had the money, and we've still got it now. But here's what happens with your money. $2 trillion for war versus $100 billion to save the earth. Repeat that. $2 trillion for war versus $100 billion to save the earth. We're not talking about Russia. We're not talking about Germany. We're not talking about China. We're talking about in this nation. $2 trillion for war versus $100 billion to save the earth. For the life of me, don't understand that. The West seems more fixated on spending social wealth on military rather than addressing the climate catastrophe. During late April and early May, South Asia experienced the terrible impact of global warming. The temperature reached almost 50 degrees Celsius. That's 122 degrees Fahrenheit. In some cities in the region, the high temperatures came alongside dangerous flooding in northeast India and in Bangladesh as the rivers burst their banks with flash floods taking place in places like Sungai in Shiet, Bangladesh. And Salem Haig, the director of the International Center of Climate Change and Development, is from Bangladesh. He is a veteran of the UN climate change negotiations. When Haig read a tweet by Marianne Carlson, the co-chair of the UN's Adaptation Committee, this is a problem within the human society. And I don't know, maybe it's always been there. The fact that we are much readily available, much more readily available to create and spend money on weapons of war to destroy one another than we are to do what's necessary to save the planet for other human beings. And, you know, I'm not the most religious person on the planet. I'm not the most spiritual person on the planet. But I certainly think that to think that other human beings on the earth are the main enemy of other human beings, that there's something wrong with that mentality, something wrong with that way of thinking. And we've got to get out of that. I don't care if it's the Russians. They're human beings. I don't care if it's the Chinese. I don't hate the Chinese. I don't care if it's, North Korea's, Koreans. I don't hate the North Koreans. They're human beings, you know. And so when we build up this kind of mindset in a society, which is what we all have right now, unfortunately, many of us, that we'll spend whatever we have to prepare ourselves to destroy another human being, but we can't see well enough that we'll do what's necessary to save the life of a human being. So maybe it's something in the species of man. I don't know. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Maybe it's something in the heart of man. And it doesn't matter what the nationality is. You know, we just somehow don't have enough trust or belief in another human being. And we do everything within our power to destroy them and do as little as possible to make it possible that we can live harmoniously. Man can't do it. Why man can't do it is beyond me. It's bigger than what I can surmise. Maybe you might know. 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Listen to these numbers. In 2009, at the COP 15, developed countries of the world had agreed to a $100 billion annual adaptation assistance fund, which was supposed to be paid by 2020. And what that fund was for, again, $100 billion, sounds like a lot of money, but it's not globally. But it was going to address the global issues that we all know are coming. My son lives in Arizona. He told me on last night, the temperature has been, anywhere from 107 to 111 degrees. Is going to rise to 115 degrees today. And just to think about, and I get it. I mean, I know all of what's happening in Arizona was built on a desert. We knew what that was. Arizona is a desert. And so they've been able to do irrigation and other things and put people there. But 112, 115 degrees is a death knell long term for any human being. And yet there are people who are living in those areas. It's a hell of an accomplishment for a nation to be able to transform a desert into a place where people can live and survive. Las Vegas, Nevada is another area where they've been able to do those things. And so that's fine. But if we can do some of the things that are positive, which I think those things are, then why can't we do the things that need to be done that will support and continue to support life on this planet? You know, why should $2 trillion be spent every year to help destroy other humans on this planet, and $100 billion we can't put together collectively to address the climate issues that we know are eventually going to be the death knell for all of us? That may not happen today or tomorrow, but it's certainly coming. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. What do you say? Our phone lines are open. Got to go to a break. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Here's another story that I just don't understand. Republicans must learn to compromise like Democrats. And so Democrats always pushed with their backs against the wall as people ask why Democrats can't compromise, you know, and so Democrats are willing to compromise almost at every turn. They're willing to work because they know it's important that we get some things done. Now, I just got through haranguing on Democrats because there has to be truth spoken, whether it's hurts or not, and in the last 45 minutes or so, as I was talking about mistakes that Democrats have made, things that they've done that they haven't been forgiven for. Excuse me, and in many instances, it's hard to forgive them for what they've done. But at the same time, on the other side of the equation is a Republican Party that has done and continues to do everything within its power to prevent this nation from moving forward. And it's almost as if the obstruction is their birthright. The fact that they aren't willing to do what is necessary to move the nation forward, they shouldn't be rewarded regardless of what has been taking place with Democratic leadership. You can't point to Republican leadership that has wrought anything visible to make things better in this country. Joe Biden campaigned on his ability to restore Cumnity to Washington, D.C., work across party lines and put nation above party. He did the exact opposite after his election. The press conveniently forgot his campaign promises, subordinating them to the need to control a series of supportive existential crises, saving humanity from COVID-19, saving democracy from Donald Trump and white supremacists, and saving the world from carbon. While Republicans poised to capitalize on Biden's missteps in domestic and foreign policy, Democrats and their media allies are poised to suddenly recall their preference for compromise after the midterm elections. Democrats have redefined compromise to mean moving the nation in their preferred direction, but at a slower pace. While the press fawns over Democrats willing to adopt radical positions contrary to their constituents' preferences and well-being. On the other hand, you've got the Republican Party, which chooses not to even want to be a part of the discussion to address these ills that we all know are going to consume all of us. You know, our phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. I've got Republican friends. You hear Republicans who call this radio station. I continue, even in the face of the fact that it's bad for my health, to listen to conservative talk radio, television, radio, read Republican news outlets, because I just think it's important that we know who these people are, what they stand for, and they just will do nothing to make this a better place or a better nation. And I don't care what side of the aisle your politics are. At the end of it, the end result of all of it is that our nation is not getting better. Our nation is ill and suffering from this divide that doesn't seem to be bridged. Who do I see working, trying to bridge that gap? It's people on the left. They have sacrificed, they've given in, even to the degree that there are people who are so angry about what has taken place, and that Democrats seem to always be willing to give in. There are some of us who say they should fight harder and let the chips fall where they may. But that way of thinking, is not going to improve things long term for this nation. It's going to take people who are willing to set aside differences, which doesn't seem to happen anymore, unfortunately, in this nation. We can't find people who are willing to do the right thing, especially those on the right. We're at a point now of almost no return in this nation. And I know people will say, well, Earl, what are you talking about? You know, I'm still doing fine. Well, I got some money in the bank. I'm able to buy a new car. I'm able to go on vacation. I'm able to do these things. But if you don't see the long-term issues that we are faced with in this nation and globally, and you still choose to stick your head in the sand and dismiss it because we're the great, you know, America, that things are going to get better for us because we're Americans, as if somehow there's something magical about being an American, then you are part of the problem. In my lifetime, in my lifespan, this is one of the most dangerous times that I've lived through. And anybody who doesn't understand that, and I don't mean militarily, we've got that under control. We've strengthened the fact that we are still the most powerful nation on earth, and we continue to do that on a yearly basis, is once again $814 billion defense budget that Joe Biden wanted to pass has been surpassed by both Democrats and Republicans by another $50 billion. Whether or not the Pentagon wanted it or not, Both Democrats and Republicans have said that is what we're going to do and make sure that that happens. And I know in many cases, in many instances, it's based on the states where people live. And so when you've got, even in the state where we live here in Wisconsin, Oshkosh Truck and other companies that have defense budgets or defense contracts, those areas are strong and stay strong. Those cities, those that have those and are blessed and fortunate to have that kind of a company in their city benefit well by it. But long term, the majority of us don't benefit from that. And so politics plays a role in those things. We're at a point once again, where when will the sanity of people being able to sit down, say we disagree, but we need to agree for what's in the best interest of our nation? I don't see that anymore. And because I don't see that anymore, it's why I say it's one of the most dangerous times in my life. I watch what's happening in urban centers across the nation, and the bloodshed is unmistakable. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. You know, when we come back after the break, I'm going to talk about some stories that are taking place that are horrendous and are happening in this nation and are happening so often that people have grown immune to watching the deaths and the struggles that are taking place. Children being executed in our nation, and people don't seem to think much of it because it hasn't happened to them. There was a time in this nation that people did care a little bit more. I think we're at a point now where it's certainly not the case. How do you bring that back? Because it's critically important as a nation. When people can feel the pain of other human beings and others of their countrymen. Not as much anymore. We got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. We'll be right back.